Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for High Velocity Radio.
Welcome to the High Velocity Radio Show, where we celebrate top performers producing better results in less time. Stone Payton, Lee Cantor here with you. How are you, man?
I am doing great. How about you?
I am doing well and really looking forward to this afternoon's segment. We have with us today the Grand Poobah, the person behind a company called And Transformation. Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast, Miss Jenny Rodriguez. How are you?
I'm great. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Now, Jenny, can you share a little bit about And Transformation? I hear that you guys are the change engine. Is that true?
True. So, we are the transformation agent. Mm-hmm. And I make that distinction because you have change and then you have transformation. Mm-hmm. And the fundamental difference between the two is that change is often perceived to be once and done. Change or transformation is constant evolving change. So that is what And Transformation is about, how to embed constant evolving change in organizations to constantly improve the way they move forward together.
And then what are some reasons that a company would engage with your firm?
So companies come to my firm in several different ways. Sometimes they have already been under an enormous amount of change due to market conditions or customers changing, and it's causing a lot of turmoil in their organization. So they're looking for a different way to think about moving forward together and how to bring their operational groups together in a different way. I have other organizations that are quite small that will come and they just want to start to learn and to start that conversation about how do we think about change differently from the way we've done it today.
Now, what's the pain that they're feeling where they're like, you know what, I should call Jenny?
Most often the pain is that the change is perceived to be one more thing. So it's getting in the way of how they work today. It's getting into the way of how they think they have to work tomorrow. There's a fear in the organization sometimes that what's the next change coming and where am I going to be in that change? So fundamentally, we as humans, we're wired for safety and security.
So we don't like change typically? Well,
typically, most individuals really would rather not change. I'm actually kind of one of those unique individuals that I was wired at a very young age to really, whether I enjoyed change early on, I didn't really have much of a choice. 17 moves before I went to college. And, you know, you kind of learn after a while that no matter what you left behind, what comes after works. And so
now, do you find people in the change field, they came from that kind of a background? Maybe, you know, their parents moved a lot or they had different jobs, so they were forced to kind of adapt.
I think there's a little of that, but I also think it's a little bit of a mindset in how people, you know, you have, like, I will give you an example. I'll share a little personal. So I've been with an individual for a very long time, and he is very backward-looking, and I'm very forward-looking.
Okay.
So, you know, his natural go-to security zone is remembering all the good things that happened in the past. Whereas I'm kind of like, okay, that was yesterday's news. What's happening tomorrow?
What are we going to do tomorrow?
So it can cause its stresses. So where we meet is in the middle, right? So
the present,
right? So the present is a gift. And so, yes. So, but many folks are the same way. I mean, you know, thinking, it depends on how you're wired as an individual. Sometimes it comes from your environment and how you grew up. Sometimes it's just how you are and who you are. And part of what And Transformation works to do really, really hard is to build an environment in organizations where all the different kinds of people and how you're wired come together to work together to think about doing things differently.
So what does that process look like when you begin working with a client or prospective client? What are those first few conversations about or those first few activities look like?
So the very first question that is asked always is, why are we here? So what is your problem? You know, you as the executive.
Bob is the problem. If I could get Bob out of the way, so we would be singing like
Bob's
a sewing machine.
That's part of your job.
part of And Transformation is teaching the leaders how to have those hard conversations and understanding, is it truly Bob that's the issue? Or is it Joe who needs Bob in that role so Joe's role can be fulfilled? And so it's part of kind of opening that kimono, if you will, and having those hard conversations. And as leaders, how do we think about what we're responsible for both today and what are we responsible for tomorrow? And fundamentally, those can be mutually exclusive. Because when you think about how you're rewarded today in an organization, you know, what's your monetary reward, what's your positional reward, what's your, you know, power reward, changing for tomorrow can often mean that that all changes. So right. What made you very valuable today, you may not have such a place in the organization tomorrow. And therein lies that constant tension and that constant struggle, both individually and across the organization.
So now, does your work work specifically for different industries, or is it industry agnostic, or do you approach different industries in different ways?
It's very industry agnostic. However, having said that, one of the opportunities you have when you walk into organizations is to understand what their unique stresses are. So if you're, let's say, for example, you're in a capital intensive industry, it's not so easy to just decide in March that we're going to change the way we work in May. You know, you have investments that have to be unwound and replaced. And whereas smaller organizations may be more nimble, they may be able to shift much more quickly. So it is industry agnostic. It does depend a little bit on the size of the organization and sort of where they are in their business life cycle as well.
So I have a couple of questions around this whole idea of resistance to change. And one of them is, do you find that some organizations get a little bit blindsided because in the early planning and communication about the shifts that we're making, everybody's on board. The leader's charismatic, so he or she has communicated it effectively. The rank and file is kind of fired up about it. This is going to be better. And so they're all like in this sort of happy, maybe even semi-naive sort of state. And in some realities that a company, I would think, almost every change maybe start to hit them and they get blindsided. Have you ever seen organizations kind of fall into that trap?
So there are two answers to that question. So let me first talk about what's called the change curve. So In every change, you have a curve that looks a little bit like a roller coaster. So you sort of go up the chain, if you will, for a while. You're euphoric, you're enthusiastic, you understand the change. And then the reality of what you've lost, if you will, and you sort of come down that curve before you get back up the other side. So that is a natural reaction to any and all change.
So just period amen, that's going to happen.
It's going to happen. How?
No matter how cool the change is.
No matter how, even a great change, right? You think about that. So let's say you buy the sports car of your dream, right? So you were so excited, you know, you did all the research and you got to the top and now you own it. And all of a sudden you're looking at it, you're going, so my insurance just tripled, you know, my children want to borrow my car more often. I mean, you know, so you kind of take this, what did I do? And that sort of, that's decline in the change before you get back up to reality. I still have the great car and, you know, I managed through that. So there's this process that goes through. The second part of that change is that when you think about AND transformation, the fundamental thing in AND transformation is it is a loop of change. So many folks think about change as sort of, you know, very linear or very angular. You have a line to a change, you drop to another change, you take another right turn to another change. When in fact, if you think about change as being very fluid and dynamic because it's constant and evolving, the AND transformation loop says there are three components to every change, and you have to do all three, particularly in organizations. You have to start the new, so start the new work. You have to stop the old work, and you have to reframe the people in the organization.
That last one's probably a slam dunk, I would think, right? That's the easiest.
Anything with people is easy,
yeah,
right?
That's the truth of the matter is, I have found in my experience that actually the hardest thing is stopping the old work. So when you think about it, right? So kind of going back to what I said a little bit earlier about we're all rewarded for what we've done today and how we're valued. So to stop that old work, if someone in the organization's bonus or money or job or, you know, value prop individual.
Right, their status or perceived status.
And I got really good at this thing and now you're saying that's not even where we're going anymore, right? I have
a lot of investment. So what happens often is many organizations do a couple of different things. Some, they'll start the new work and it's great. You know, the market needs it. Their customers need it. It's a great story. The old work just sort of goes underground. And so, you know, it's still required from those. So you start to build this resistance to the change because, yeah, it's great that we have this new thing going on. But now I've got that and my old work.
Right, so now I got twice as much work.
Now I have twice as much. Oh, and by the way, the other thing that may or may not happen is sometimes organizations, because you are so busy day to day working on what you need to get done for today, what is the most urgent thing to do for today, sort of what yesterday's work is sort of left aside and it continues along until we do what I kind of call tongue in cheek, the lop and drop. right? So all of a sudden you pick up a big piece of an organization and you take it away, you lop it off in the hopes sometimes that the work that those individuals were doing goes with them. But back to if someone's benefit comes from that work, it will continue to have to get done.
That's right.
And what And Transformation says is if you acknowledge this is a true statement, right? So this is a fundamental principle. If you acknowledge that that's true and that happens, how do we stop that from happening? And so there are a couple of ways you can do that. One is when you go back to the loop. So every year you have a new loop of work that gets done. The leaders across the organization work together on a shared set of goals. Right. So they have their individual operational goals. Your sales leader has his or her goals. The marketing leader has his or hers. And in addition, because it's an and, not an or, you have your transformation goals. And as you work around that loop as to what happens, right, you're part of that conversation as to, okay, if this starts, what's stopping? So they're linked. And then back to the easiest one, the reframe the people in the organization, right? So another fundamental principle of And Transformation says that just because the work stops doesn't mean the person does. And so we historically, at least in the organizations I've always been a part of, and I've been in organizations from 10 people to 10,000 people. So I've kind of crossed the gamut of corporate America from very small family-owned companies to very large Fortune 10 companies. It's always the same story in that we historically have never had careers where we think about the individual as the center of that career. We think about a path as the center of a person's career. And if the path goes away because the work changed or, you know, the market's changed, you know, the customers changed, what happens to that individual? Like, so I've had three different times in my career where I no longer aligned and the organization wasn't prepared to start to reframe that. It just wasn't capable of doing it because we didn't teach it. It wasn't part of the culture.
So now what role is the leader in this process to make sure that goes smoothly?
So the leader is the evangelist. The leader is the drum marshal. The leader, because if the leader is not aligned to the idea that we think about our human resources, like we think about our investment in human resources differently in that the person's there, what they do changes constantly, and we are always investing in that way. Then it will eventually become a dollar exercise and it will eventually become yesterday's news. If the leader supports it, particularly from the aspect of not only starting, but that they reward stopping old work. And I say that a lot, but we all know, I mean, think about our own individual lives and, you know, things we do each and every day.
That, right. It's just part of your routine.
It's just part
that's what
routine.
I do on Mondays. You're telling me, what do I do on Mondays now?
Right. And so the leader is really the individual who supports the fact that that there's an investment being made in both the way we work today and how we need to work to get to be effective tomorrow.
But who's the accountability partner to make sure that that gets done?
So in And Transformation,
Jenny, they write her a check and you're their accountability partner, right? In some cases, is that true?
In some cases, that's true. But yeah. I will also say to you, I firmly believe that And Transformation is the move forward function in the organization. It doesn't mean that that function is only responsible for all the forward work, all the strategy delivery. What it says is that you have an organization that is at the top of your top leadership, whose function it is to ensure that the rest of the leaders work together and have that transformation plan each and every year. So it's your chief transformation management officer. That's compared to a chief transformation officer, which in many organizations deals on the technology side.
Right.
Transformation management, because if we agree that as a principle and transformation is a function in an organization, all functions have operations. Sales has operations, supply chain has operations, right? So finance has operations. So in order for a function to exist and to be functioning, to use a twist on the word, you need a leader in that organization. And so the accountability partner is that CTMO.
So I have the oxymoron of the century for you, Lee. Change is constant. I'm stealing that off of some notes sitting here next to me. But I think it's true. All right, so this sounds like a heck of a lot of work.
It's a lot of work.
Right? All right, so you do it. Let's say you get in there, you do it well, or you equip your client to do it well, but we anticipate and deal with some of these sources of resistance, and we employ the best strategies, all that kind of stuff. And we still have a few pockets or a few individuals that are resistant to the point where they're not going to be able to contribute to the forward way. Is there some wisdom? Is it okay to figuratively, and is there some value in doing this?
It's called lop and drop.
Well, maybe that's what you would call it. But my metaphor, I guess, would be hang a couple heretics from the courthouse steps at noon to send a message. We're really heading in this direction.
Right. So in end transformation, it actually sits between the two. So lop and drop assumes that you're just like doing a wholesale lift of a group, a department, and outsourcing it, resourcing it, stopping the work. But in end transformation, part of the stopping old work is to have that hard conversation, because not everybody will be reframed for lots of different reasons. You may have outgrown the organization. The organization has gone in a direction that your skill set is no longer...
It's not aligned or a
fit. It's no longer aligned or a fit. And the reality of it is you're not interested or you're not capable. I mean, these are all hard people conversations that, you know, your human resource partners and your executives have each and every day about fitting. But it's part of talking about it and bringing that conversation to the table, which is so relevant.
Now, when you're working with a company and you're talking at first, obviously, strategically and kind of holistically of what you would like to accomplish and what the goal is, how do you know when you implement this that, like, oh, this is not going as we planned, there's some friction here that we didn't anticipate, or the market isn't accepting what this change is? How do you kind of hold yourself accountable in this in order to make sure that the customer, the client, gets the outcome they desire?
So I have what I call my rearview mirror tool. Because the work I do, it's very, very hard to go home at the end of the day and say I made 100 widgets.
Right.
Or, you know, I delivered 10 communications.
Right. Like, how do you know when to high five?
Right. So right. Part of this is the end point of each and every and transformation loop is what's called the forward shift point. And so you're not striving to get somewhere unknown. You have the transformation group, the leaders have specifically designed a transformation plan that has a forward shift point. So that is your marker that you're looking at. And I usually say it in year increments just because it aligns to most organizations' budgets and financial plans. So where is it we're going to accomplish in that year? When you do that and you start breaking it down, you can see quantitatively where you've gotten in terms of the things you have to get done. But qualitatively, which is where I think you're really asking the question, is how do I know that the organization has really adopted and accepted that change? That is what I call a rearview mirror assessment. And that's where you sit at the end of the, you know, every 6 months and you look back and you say, we were there and have we gotten to where we thought we would? So you really have to be very consciously sort of looking behind and seeing how, measuring whether you've gotten there. Because it is, it's people, right? So not everything is dollars. So,
right. And there's no way you can anticipate all of the ramifications of the change ahead of time.
Right. And part of what AND Transformation brings to the table is when you think about a change-led operating model, so there's an organization called your Transformation Management Group, right? And what they're working on, remember, the leaders own this group. It's not some group sitting in the back office. It's not, you know, off by themselves. These are your C-suite, your top leaders together working this group. And they are accountable to ensure that they're paying attention and following. And the transformation organization's responsibility is to, like any good consulting firm would as well, what are the issues? What are the barriers? You know, you're constantly bringing decisions to the table and to have good decisions being made to keep, to make sure that kind of roadblock or curve in the road is visible.
It sounds to me like this would work extremely well if the leadership would commit to it and get the leaders in between them and the rank and the file to commit to it as well. It also occurs to me, though, that they might say, wow, that genie's sharp. And one day, man, we're going to have an organization that does all that. But I don't think we're ready to take that on yet. Do you get that sometimes? And do you look for that so that you don't waste your time trying to have impact in an organization that's not prepared to actually do the work?
So the way I have designed it is that, yes, I do get that to answers directly to your question. There's always demands for people's energy and investments. And so this is just yet one more investment to be made in the organization. And as an executive leader, you have to choose each and every day what you do. Having said that, I do believe that there is a level of education that I also focus heavily on that isn't required for the top leaders to be on board, so that you as an individual have an appreciation and understanding what does it mean to be really thinking about constant change. And how do I work so that if I start something, is there something I can be stopping, right? So there's a knowledge level that can be taught across the organization, regardless of whether or not the organization is ready to start down that journey.
Okay, and that's valuable to me as a professional. If I'm a mid-level manager, Absolutely. What have you. Now, you might get me smart enough to where I recognize Lee's not all that great of a change leader, and that has its own implications, but still there's this type of value that you can provide me or people in my tier. And so you can do that.
Right. So I actually, when I go out and talk about AND transformation, I really talk about it in four sort of pillars. So there's the whole education. What is it? What does it mean to you as an individual? What does it mean to you as an individual within a broader organization? You know, whether it's a 10-person organization or a 10,000 person, because it's going to mean something different depending on the size of your organization, right? And then I do what I call scouting. So, you know, what opportunities do you have in your organization to adopt some of these principles and to actually execute and deliver on some of them? The third level is sort of what we're talking about. An organization has said, we're ready for this. So helping them guide through those early days and start down that road. Because these roles that we talk about in transformation, and particularly in the transformation management organization, they are not designed to be permanent roles. Just as because if you want to practice what you preach, if you start, stop, and continue, they're designed to be developmental roles for leaders at different levels in their career to come in, whether it's early career and they're a team man, they're running a small project within the TMO, or whether they're a senior leader and they are between, you know, a functional role where they've hit the top of the leaderboard and moving to a cross-functional role. And so they're designed to help them practice, if you will, the art of transformation in a very defined way. So there's educating, there's scouting, there's guiding, and the last one is advising. So you have organizations who they've been working on this for a while. They're comfortable with the way they do change. They just want a checkup every so often. They just sort of want another pair of eyes to come in and say, hey, do you see anything? Can we think about this a little differently? You know, we're thinking of it as this is our first year of our 5-year plan. Is that correct? You know, those types of questions.
Now, are you typically brought in when there's some sort of a crisis?
It's about half and half. Oftentimes the challenge with coming in when there's a crisis is depends on what the crisis is. So if organizations have gone through transformations before and they failed, oftentimes it's because it wasn't truly a transformation. So one of the three things was happening. They were trying to start something new, but they didn't do the stop or reframe. They were trying to stop something old, but they didn't reframe. And so transformation has been overused as a word. I know there are organizations that I've encountered where they ban the use of the word transformation because it has such
lost its meaning.
It's lost its meaning. It has, you know, in many, many cases, and I'll talk about this for a second because I think this is a very important point. In many, many organizations, transformation equals cost out. And that is an absolutely 100% true thing that must happen, but it's not the only thing that happens. And by that, what I mean is, the only way to pay for tomorrow is with today's dollars. There's no money growing on trees. You might find additional funding, but at the end of the day, true organic growth has to be funded from within. And so it means stop paying for something today to start paying for something tomorrow. So in organizations who have not started down a continuous transformation cycle, they are going to, in fact, that first year is going to be about cost out. The challenge becomes for the leaders is how do we frame it in such a way that when we get to year two and year three, they see the loop starting to occur and they get that it wasn't just a once and done transformation. And there's a linkage to what the cost out and what happened afterwards.
So I want to talk about this book. You've got a book out.
I do.
And it's called AND Transformation, the Change Engine, Lead Effectively Through Change Today and Accelerate Growth for Tomorrow. Yeah. Tell us about this. What compelled you to write the book?
So AND transformation was really born from the necessity of managing this fact that change is never once and done. you know, change is constant. It's always evolving. But to be quite candid, and you'll find I'm very transparent. So through my career, I kept getting these, what I called my oh my gods, when I would talk about the work I do, right? Because all my career, I've been very, I didn't sign up for this. I didn't sign, you know, get a bachelor's in move forward organizations. It just sort of was my natural, it's sort of how I am and how I'm wired. So it sort of came. And so I would talk to people about, you know, I did this for this organization and that for that organization. And they would say, oh my God, you get fired all the time. Or, oh my God, nobody wants that. They're too busy. Or, you know, you're the sand in the oyster. You know, you're irritating. You make great product, but you know, cause it's, you know, it's all work that is perceived to be not essential for today's work. And so over time, what I came to realize is that if to align what is needed with what is wanted, it requires a structure. It requires a place for the leaders to come together and have those conversations across their boundaries, across their organizational boundaries, across their strategic boundaries. And that is hard to do in the structure of most organizations. So therefore, that started
that's
down
where
this
the path. Book came from.
That's where the book came from. You know, there's a chapter in the book and it's called The 40 Thieves of Transformation. And it talks to...
What a great chapter title. I love it.
Yeah, it talks to, you know, it speaks to, okay, so where are all the ways that we resist change, both at an organizational level and then as individuals within the organization? And then being aware of those, you know, knowledge is power. Right. So forward thinking organizations really understand that, you know, this is messy work. This isn't antiseptic. It's hard to do. But we need to have that work being done and need to be done all the time. So this was an opportunity to provide a vehicle to do that.
And that helps educate the prospective client on at least get their arms around what's ahead, right?
Correct. Absolutely.
Now, do you know, like, what are some other resources you would recommend a person or a leader of a company that's thinking about doing some transformation?
So I would always say, start with where you're, what you're doing.
Buy the book. First, buy the book.
Buy the book.
Absolutely.
Step one, buy
even
the book.
You, even before you buy the book, www.andtransformation.com, right?
Website,
we are in the 21st century.
Right.
You know, start the conversation in your organizations. Use the and transformation loop as a conversation frame within your own organization. Mm-hmm. You know, put it on the wall. Have a team meeting and say, okay, if we were to take one problem we as a group have today, how would we use this loop? But also in addition, look around your organization and see what's happening today. Lots of change work is happening in many, many organizations. There are many, many different good change tools out there, whether it's ProSci or, you know, lots of change management tools exist today. What's being used today in the organization? Who's using it? And what are the results that you're getting? You know, see if your changes are your changes really defined well, or are they reactionary? I mean, so that's kind of where I start those conversations. What problem is it that we need to solve with this?
Well, this has been very informative for me. I can't say that it's necessarily inspired me to start some new change, but it makes me feel like I'm going to be a little more mature about it if we do it. And then maybe one of the first things I'm going to do is go to the website or give Jenny a call. But I've learned a lot in this conversation. Did you learn anything, or did you already know all this stuff?
I did not. This was great. Thank you for sharing your
Thank
story.
You.
Yeah,
Thank
this
you.
Has been fantastic. Thank you so very much. Let's do, though, make sure again, as we wrap, that our listeners know how to get in touch with you, have a conversation with you or someone on your team, and where can they get their hands on this book?
So you can reach me at www.andtransformation.com.
That's A-N-D.
A-N-D, right? And it's an and, not an or. So you don't get to work or transform. You have both. And the book is on Amazon under the same title. It's both print and Kindle version. So you can go there as well.
All right. Until next time, this is Stone Payton for Lee Cantor, our fearless producer, Ryan Redhawk McPherson. Our guest this afternoon, Jenny Rodriguez, with a new book out, And Transformation, and everyone here at the Business Radio X family saying we'll see you in the fast lane.